Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's up? It's Metal Shop, Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Right now I'm talking with Knox Colby, vocalist for a band called Enforced. You may not have heard of them yet, but their new record is called Killgrid. It's out now on Century Media Records. They've been grinding hard, doing kind of a crossover, hardcore, thrash metal, and death metal influenced sound for quite a while now from Richmond, Virginia. I believe you guys are from Richmond, right?
Yes, sir.
You guys, like the newest metal band to really make it from Richmond. You guys have such a big scene. I mean, coming from, you know, I kind of grew up in more like hardcore, so I liked bands like Strike Anywhere,
Same.
Striking Distance,
yeah.
Count Me Out, and then you know, the metal bands. So you got Gwar, Municipal Waste, so many sick bands. And of course Lamb of God. How has being from Richmond shaped you musically?
I mean, it's been probably the biggest impact in my life, I would say, as a musician. I originally started in the Virginia Beach hardcore scene.
Okay.
I moved there when I was 12, and when I graduated high school in 2008, I left. So that was like 2002 to 2008, so 6 years of being in bands and going to shows and getting roughed up and stuff, and going, you know, getting hurt and fighting and everything.
Yeah.
And then moving here where it's kind of, it's punk, it's metal, it's hardcore, it's everything underground is so, it's in your face and ever present no matter where you go.
Yeah.
So, and people you see, it's such a serious and concrete part of the like whole Richmond culture is the underground music scene.
That's awesome. I mean, could you tell from like the moment you moved there?
Say again?
Could you tell like from the moment you moved there that it was so ever present?
Oh yeah. I went to see Ceremony and Paint It Black the day I moved here. They played a house show. I just rode my bike a couple blocks down the street and
yeah,
jumped off and just went to a house show where Ceremony was playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, yeah, this is where I want to be. I'm good. I'm sold.
That's awesome, man. So,
it was cool.
What? Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to jump into this then, might as well, since we're talking about Richmond. We all know the big four of thrash, you know, Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax, and Slayer. In your opinion, what's the big four of Richmond? I'm not going to get you in any fights, you know. You know, this is just your personal. So it doesn't have to be.
Well, half of it is obvious. So, Lamb of God and Municipal Waste.
Yeah,
I would say. Gwar, you could debate. But in my personal interests, I would say Lamb of God, Municipal Waste, Down to Nothing, and probably Count Me Out.
Nice.
I mean, those were all like Down to Nothing and Count Me Out were so cool when I was, you know, a teenager.
Yeah.
And Municipal Waste as well. So, you know, moving here and then playing shows with all these dudes and stuff, you're just like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
Cause when you're young, you don't know that like, they're not rock stars. They're just people. So you can't. It took a long time to wrap my head around. It's like, oh yeah, these are just people. Like, it's not, you know, and they definitely don't carry any rock star attitudes. That's ridiculous. So just hanging out with these guys and just seeing them around and stuff, it's just very casual. Everyone's super supportive of one another. That's awesome. Yeah, I would say those four.
I forgot to mention Avail. That is a very Richmond band.
I was of Richmond, so I would have to take one out then.
Well,
because I think if I were to ask any of those bands, they would put Avail before themselves
for sure.
So which one should be taken out?
I know DTN guys are huge Avail heads. So,
well, so are Count Me Out guys.
Oh, well, there
but
you go.
Just for the sake of the name, I'm going to have to count me out. They said I could because that's their band name. So I'll take Count Me Out off and put a veil on.
But the best part about it is you don't have to take anything out and you can enjoy.
I don't want to.
Musical. Exactly. So, so I wanted to ask you a bit about the record. So the album is
sure
dope. It's available now on Century Media. Tell me about making that step up, dude. Century Media is a big step up. I mean, now you guys are on the same label as, you know, some of the heavy hitters in the world of, Body Count and Ice-T. They just won the Grammy. And you're label now with Body Count.
Yeah, when I told my parents that, I think that's when they were like, he's actually doing something. No, okay, cool.
Validation.
Because I told, they constantly need like revalidating
yep.
to kind of like keep up with some way that I can translate how Enforced has grown. I can translate it to bands or people that they know.
Totally.
So when Body Count got the Grammy, shout out to Ice-T and the boys and Ernie. I was like, hey, you see the Body Count won a Grammy? Yeah. I'm on the same record label as them. Oh, okay. Well, that's great.
That's
I'm
so
just like, yeah. Like, okay. Can you see like where this hopefully is tracking?
Exactly.
that would be really cool.
So how'd you guys get on Century Media? How long did you guys... were in talks and whatnot. I know you have a member from Red Death playing with you guys. Was it kind of, did it that kind of open the door to talking with Century Media?
I think so, but not in a, it wasn't like, okay, we'll sign them too,
okay.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
We were both included on this like Bandcamp article about like up and coming thrash bands.
Yeah.
And I think they pulled the guy who signed us is now the head of A&R there. So I think he has got us at the same time.
That's cool.
And, Red Death had already finished or it's almost done finishing Sickness Divine. So they kind of, they went right to work into getting that pushed, pumped out as soon as possible. And, yeah, and then so that was probably, I was trying to think of it the other day. I'm going to say it was like late 2000, no, it was like mid summer 2019. It was right around the time At the Walls came out, because we hadn't even really toured on it yet. But yeah, they had already shown interest, and so started working with War and stuff. We were like, hey, like we already got hit up with Century Media, so this is gonna be like a one and done thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, totally understand.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's pretty hard to pass up. I'm not gonna be a dickhead about it.
Yeah. Well, congratulations and you know,
yeah, thank you.
Century Media is doing really cool stuff with, you know, obviously there's the heavy hitters that they always are constantly putting out, but then, you know, there's some new up and coming bands like Frozen Soul, Sanguisugabog, and, you know, you guys, and it's really cool. Again,
yeah, they kind of dragged the lake and got some new rising stars,
some new blood
all at once.
That would be,
that's really cool.
That would be cool if, you know, in the times when the world is open, there could be you know, an Enforced, Frozen Soul, Sanguisugabog, like Century Media New Guns tour or something.
That'd be cool. We played a few shows with Sanguisugabog.
Nice.
Or maybe it's just one, I can't remember. I thought it was at least three, but yeah, we played with them in Cincinnati, and that was a That show was wild ass. Very violent. It was awesome.
So, what's been, okay, so in the normal timeline, like there's a totally other timeline where the label, where the album comes out and the world is open and you guys can tour, play a record release show. But because that's not possible, how have you been able to pivot and still like support the record and stuff? Is it a lot of interviews, a lot of press and stuff?
Oh yeah, I've been going crazy with all the press and interviews and stuff like that, just to try and keep the conversation going.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily people are, you know, I'm not, you know, jumping out in front of buses trying to get attention or anything.
Yeah.
But people still keep coming. So, I mean, I'm down to always talk about it. I love talking about it.
And we appreciate that, man.
Huh?
And we appreciate that being the,
oh, absolutely. I hope so. Yeah. I love doing it. I really appreciate, you know, everyone giving us the opportunity to talk about the record. We've got some, we might have something coming out later on next month. Just as like some teaser stuff.
Yeah.
But we're trying to keep, you know, some type of output consistent to keep treading water until we can actually start playing shows again.
Do you have any kind of like, are you nervous to like reschedule stuff? You know, because like, okay, so when the pandemic started, everyone rescheduled, and then they rescheduled again. Mm-hmm. And at this point, you kind of just got to wait, or people, you know, maybe pushing it out to like fall, something like that. Is that kind of?
Yeah, fall or winter.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of stuff lined up last summer and last fall, yeah, and that constantly got pushed back and rescheduled, mm-hmm, pushed back and rescheduled, and then finally just hands thrown up, just flat out canceled. So yeah, having stuff rescheduled, I mean, it's happened numerous times before, so
yeah,
I'm used to it by this point. It is a little disheartening because you just want to get out and do it so bad, but if the time's not right, the time's not right. So there's nothing you can really do.
Was the album worked on during the pandemic or was it all done beforehand?
No, it was all done beforehand. It was all done before we even, did that full US tour back in January in 2020.
Nice.
Written wise, but it was recorded right before quarantine,
mm-hmm,
and like a little bit afterwards. Like right before like the first lockdown, like what was that, mid March, mm-hmm, of last year? I can't remember.
Just about a year.
Yeah, about a year. God, it doesn't feel like a year. Yeah, so it was pretty much all set in stone by the time we even got into the studio.
Was there any kind of, I don't know, were you kind of holding back the idea of releasing it? Was there any, like, you know, nervousness about releasing it during a pandemic? Or what was that negotiation like? And, you know, what made you decide to release it during this time?
Well, it was originally supposed to come out late summer of last year.
Okay.
We were going to do a tour, like a half US tour, I think. It was like 2 or 3 weeks. And then the record would come out, and then we were going to do a full, I think, that October. And then both of those got, you know, the shuffled around and rescheduled and ultimately canceled. Yeah. And then it got pushed back to October, or the record got pushed back to October. And Sensory's like, that's the latest you can do it this year.
Fair enough.
If we're even going to do it at all, because album, like, music sales drop so dramatically once it gets closer to the holidays,
mm-hmm,
that no one's going to be buying it. And by the time, you know, people start buying music again, it's been 5 months. So, I mean, I trust their decisions. It's Century Media. I don't think they've been completely open and honest and worked with us every step of the way. So I think they probably know better as to when to put an album out than me, someone who has not worked on the business aspect of music ever. So, when they said, it's going to get pushed back until March, and we're just kind of like, well, that really sucks. But it gave us plenty of time to really hammer out the rollout of it,
yeah,
and get everything squared away and really kind of put a lot of our creativity more with, you know, visual aspects, something, mm-hmm, that we've always ignored. So like making the Malignance video, that's just all old tour footage. Making the UXO music video that took like most of July or January, excuse me.
Yeah.
It took most of January. And then the curtain fire one that took a day of burning plastic and stuff. And so that was fun. But yeah, it just like, we just did stuff that we aren't normally doing or necessarily comfortable doing.
Yeah.
So, that's been a huge learning curve and really fun. To see where we can kind of push that creativity that we can't do live. We can do it in other ways, ostensibly.
But it's actually kind of, it's a blessing in disguise, I'd say. I mean, no one's going to say COVID or anything is a good thing, but I'm going to say that it forces you to, maybe during this time you probably would have been touring or, focusing solely on that stuff. And so with the album, being planned to come out, you are forced to, flex these other creative muscles that you haven't flexed as much. And, I think coming out of this, I've said it before, I think we're all going to have some more tools in our tool belts.
Yeah, like if it had come out as planned, like, late summer, early fall, then we would have never done any of those music videos or visualizers or anything like that. Mm-hmm. In terms of like a press cycle, like we've been doing since January.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have had time to do any of that. It would have just been so much so fast that my brain would have like fallen out of my ears trying to keep up with all of it.
So
yeah, it is kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time.
During this pandemic, have you been, working a day job or doing anything like that? Or have you been?
Yeah, we all have full-time jobs. I do, home and apartment maintenance.
Okay.
And, three of us, both of our guitarists and our drummer work as painting contractors.
Nice.
And our bassist, he worked at a venue that closed. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of struggling with the unemployment stuff for a few months, and then he got a job at a local brewery.
Nice.
So he's been working. We all have been working pretty nonstop since the beginning. Yeah, I there has been no breaks or working from home for a lot of us.
Yeah. Man, same here, man. I work the day job and I do the radio stuff. So I, there was like that month in the beginning where we were forced to shut down, but then we all kind of had to come back little by little and I don't know, kind of crazy, but, I wanted to ask a little bit about like your kind of like early days of music, and you said you were, getting really into hardcore, and I'm curious. So I like to ask people what their first album was, but more so, I'd like to know, what was your first band t-shirt of all time? Mine was a No Doubt t-shirt that I got at Target, and I still have it. Mm. What was your first band t-shirt you ever got?
I'm really glad that I had the interview before this one, because someone that he asked me the same thing, and I had to really think hard.
Okay.
Because I was like, dude, I don't even know. It was probably this local Virginia Beach band called Sirens.
Okay.
That's kind of like a post hardcore band. They were my favorite local band. I never got to see them except once. I caught like the last two songs of a set, bought the t-shirt, and then like 3 weeks later they broke up. So I was like, cool. So, I think that was the first one. If not, then there's probably something else that I just don't remember that didn't mean wholly as much as that shirt did. I had that shirt for a long time until I finally outgrew it.
So, what was the light bulb moment for you that made you want to, get up and do vocals and get the, get in the band and actually do the band yourself?
Light bulb moment.
Was there like a thing that inspired
Sing
you to
along.
Actually start your own band?
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I always used to like, this sounds super corny, but I really don't care. I always used to, just scream along to like Hate Breed records and stuff.
Of course. Yeah.
When I was like 12 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I started like my first couple, high school bands.
Yeah.
they were like, well, who's going to do vocals? I was like, I guess I can.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that, I mean, of course it's super nerve wracking as when you're like 14 to like get up in front of a bunch of strangers who are far older than you, or you perceive to be far older than you and they're not, they're like 18.
Yeah.
And lose your mind, to try and impress them. But it just seemed natural to me. And like, I still get nervous as heck, but once I, get on stage and grab the microphone and stuff, it all goes away and it's all performance.
So you mentioned that you guys played Cincinnati with Sanguisugabog, and it was a very insane, brutal, violent show. Now going through your memory bank, and I know that some of those Richmond shows probably are pretty gnarly, the pits and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
What's the most violent or brutal show you've ever attended and seen like the pit for?
I would say the most the first instance of violence I saw was Evergreen Terrace and Every Time I Die. Okay. Played the sushi bar in Portsmouth, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was about 13 at the time, and that place was packed with probably 400 people, a sushi bar. And people were legitimately just like grabbing each other by the throat and just cold cocking each other.
Jesus.
And just like, oh yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I was like, dude, everyone's just fighting. I just didn't fully understand.
Yeah.
But then it actually did turn into a huge fight. And it like spilled out in the parking lot. There's like hundreds of people just beating the hell out of each other. And me and my brother was there too. So we just like ran out in the parking lot. Like, I'm 13, he's 15. He's like, we gotta go.
Yeah.
So we just ran away, and luckily, my mom gave us her like Nokia flip phone, and we just called the house and like, hey, you have to come get us, but you gotta come pick us up like 2 blocks away, because we were like, if she sees this, we're never coming back. Like, we're done. Like, this is never happening again. And we need, I love this.
That reminds me of that, like, infamous Blood for Blood t-shirt that says, like, I went to a fight and a Blood for Blood show broke out.
Absolutely. That's how it felt. Yeah. And then another one was, I Hate God played here.
Okay.
And people were like breaking bottles and like stabbing each other. It was nuts. Like,
that sounds sketchy.
Very, quite violent, quite sketchy.
Damn.
Let's see. We played the show with the Cro-Mags? Yes. We played Forrest played the beach with Cro-Mags.
Okay.
And someone stage dove, but they hit their head on the monitor.
Oh no.
That's like hangs from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. They hit the corner and it practically just like scalped them. So there was just like that head blood,
yeah,
all over the place. So they shut the entire show down. And I was like, I was packing up the merch. I was like, okay, show's over.
Jesus.
And the security guard is like, what are you doing? I was like, that dude's bleeding out of his head, brain. Like, show's over, right? He's like, hell no. We're going to clean it up. I'm going to keep going. I was like, okay.
Jesus.
And then when we were playing, we played Quebec City with Integrity, and a very similar thing happened there. And like, whole thing got shut down. Everyone had to leave. Ambulance came, pulled this guy out in a stretcher. They cleaned the place. And then like 3 hours later, Integrity finished their set. And it was, yeah, it's just, you know, violence goes.
Damn, so, dude. Oh man.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot. I mean, I can think of a ton.
Okay. Well, that was quite the memories of those shows. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So another dude that's in a hardcore band, Brody King, he's in a band called God's Hate. Just put out their record.
Yeah.
Right? So he's a wrestler and he gets to use a God's Hate theme. If you were a wrestler and you got to choose your own theme song, wrestler or UFC, and you had to choose one theme song, what would it be?
Of my of any song of my choosing,
any song of your choosing, doesn't matter.
Oh, it would have to be something really obnoxious and really cool. So like, ZZ Top sleeping bag is the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Or, let's see. I just had it. Photograph by Def Leppard.
Okay.
Just something really just glitzy and glammy.
And you'd have like a Ric Flair robe.
I'd have the feather boa.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have, you know, the insane, you know, bleached beard.
Yeah.
Like the big, like Randy Savage sunglasses. I would really ham it up.
You'd be a heel for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No question.
Okay. So during this
people
time,
people would hate me.
During this time that like, you know, we can't see you at shows, obviously, what's the best way to support you guys? If we dig what we hear,
follow us on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, Enforce RVA. We interact with a lot of people on those. And we answer a ton of questions all the time.
Yeah.
So if you ever want to get in touch with one of us or have a question or a concern about the album, by all means, hit us up. Of course, if you can, buy the record.
Yeah.
We're getting more being shipped to us. That we'll have on our Bandcamp web store, hopefully in the next coming week or two.
Nice.
So if you're in the continental U.S. and you don't want to pay for, you know, European shipping, just be patient and we'll have more. So you can get it from the band directly.
Right on, man. Well,
and if you can't wait, go ahead and buy one. I think Cortex Records still has a few, maybe a handful of limited gold vinyl left.
Nice.
And then everything else is completely sold out except for, like, you know, the just basic black.
Yeah. So now my last question here for you, man, and this is a question we like to ask everyone, but we were getting into some pretty gory stories there, so I got to ask you, if you could pick a scar, just one scar on your body, and tell us the story of how you got that scar, dude.
Let's see. I can get two.
Mm-hmm.
One, I have a big chunk of skin missing from my shin.
Okay.
Cause someone kicked me with a steel toed boot and it literally just cored out a chunk of skin.
What was that? Was that at work or at a show or at a fight?
Oh, it was at a show. Yeah.
Okay.
I just got kicked really hard in the shin.
Jesus.
And it just took a big chunk out of my leg. So it's like there's, you can, if you just go down my shin bone, once you hit the scar, it's a big dent.
I can picture
it's a big
it
dent.
I can picture it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not huge, but it's like, if I was wearing shorts, you'd be like, what happened there?
That's a dent. Yeah.
I think the grossest thing, and this is something that, I don't really talk about for no reason. It never gets brought up, but I was walking down my street in high school, going back home,
mm-hmm.
and I was crossing the street and it was really dark. I got my eye caught on someone's car antenna.
Jesus.
I know, the weirdest thing. Got, and it sliced my eyeball.
Whoa.
Like diagonal. So this was when I was like 16.
Ugh.
So of course my eye starts swelling up. I'm freaking out. I'm like, okay, I'm losing this eye.
Yeah.
Like that's obvious. So we went to the doctor that night and they examined it. They got the swelling to go down. They gave me this gel to, you know, help cure whatever the, what's it called? Whatever the outer layer of the
cornea.
I guess. I don't know.
Something like that.
The jelly, the like clear jelly part. That's all that happened. And luckily didn't dig in deep enough to actually like screw up my vision. But ever since then, at how it's healed, it looks like through my left eye, it looks like everything I see looks like I'm looking through like a broken window.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's just my left eye. So like my vision is awkward because if I close my left eye, like I'm doing right now, I can see fine. But if I close my right eye, it just looks like the Black Flag damage. it's just shattered.
That's a shattered iPhone effect on your iPhone.
Yeah. So it's just like this kind of cracked, crackling and little spline here and there. It just looks splintered. So I have a very distorted view of the world.
Yes, that's a very
like
metal
a,
way
of like a broken
it.
Mirror.
It's a very metal way of putting it. Like you're like cracked vision, man.
Yeah.
Jagged visions of my true destiny.
Yeah, I'll write it down.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much, dude. Again, Knox Colby from the band Enforced, and they have a brand new record out called Killgrid on Century Media. Thanks for taking the time, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Absolutely, man. I'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.